This morning, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 38. And as is my custom, I'm going to be looking at the whole chapter here today. Sometimes we go through difficult experiences and we feel like we are spiritually stuck in the mud. Well, Jeremiah gives us a good picture of this here this morning in this passage of Scripture, one I hope will be profitable to each of you and which will bring us many good lessons in truth. Let's bow together for prayer before I begin speaking to you. Father, thank you for the book of Jeremiah and all its mighty lessons, the things that you led the prophet Jeremiah through, the heart lessons which he learned, which are also heart lessons for all the people of God. And so we pray to profit by our time around the Word here this morning, that you will come and ignite our hearts to the truth of your Word, that we would have it like a fire burning in our bones. When I preach it and your people as they listen to it, that as we gather around your Word here this morning, that we would be warmed and filled and blessed and taught and convicted where we need it and encouraged where we need it. And we pray that you will speak to our hearts in and through it here today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Jeremiah 38:1. Now Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken to all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord, he who remains in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, but he who goes over to the Chaldeans shall live. His life shall be as a prize to him, and he shall live. Thus says the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it." Therefore the princes said to the king, "Please let this man be put to death, for thus he weakens the hands of the men of war who remain in this city, and the hands of all the people by speaking such words to them. For this man does not seek the welfare of this people, but their harm." Then Zedekiah the king said, "Look, he is in your hand, for the king can do nothing against you." So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison, and they let Jeremiah down with ropes. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. Now Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. When the king was sitting at the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, "My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is likely to die from hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from here 30 men with you and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took from their old clothes and old rags and let them down by ropes into the dungeon to Jeremiah. Then Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, "Please put these old clothes and rags under your armpits under the ropes." And Jeremiah did so. So they pulled Jeremiah up with ropes and lifted him out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance of the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, "I will ask you something. Hide nothing from me." Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "If I declare it to you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you counsel, you will not listen to me." So Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, "As the Lord lives, who made our very souls, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hand of these men who seek your life." Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then your soul shall live. This city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans. They shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand." And Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, "I am afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they abuse me." But Jeremiah said, "They shall not deliver you. Please obey the voice of the Lord which I speak to you, so it shall be well with you, and your soul shall live. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the word that the Lord has shown me. Now behold, all the women who are left in the king of Judah's house shall be surrendered to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, 'Your close friends have set upon you and prevailed against you. Your feet have sunk in the mire, and they have turned away again.' So they shall surrender all your wives and children to the Chaldeans. You shall not escape from their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and you shall cause this city to be burned with fire." Then Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "Let no one know of these words, and you shall not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with you, and they come to you and say to you, 'Declare to us now what you have said to the king, and also what the king said to you,' do not hide it from us, and we will not put you to death. Then you shall say to them, 'I presented my request before the king that he would not make me return to Jonathan's house to die there.'" Then all the princes came to Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded him. So they stopped speaking with him, for the conversation had not been heard. Now Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. Now this morning we find ourselves stuck in the mud with Jeremiah, not just up to the ankles, nor up to the waist, but all the way to our armpits. With him, we are bemired with him, but there are some of us here also this morning stuck in the mud, and we are not in the mud with Jeremiah, but we are in the mud with Zedekiah. For it says in verse 22, "Your feet have sunk in the mire," and this is speaking spiritually. And so what I would like to bring to your attention at this hour is the truth that each one of us will have to identify ourselves either with Jeremiah or Zedekiah in the way that we think and in the way that we live. One of these men is thrown into the mire and then is later pulled out. The other, his feet have sunk in the mire, spiritually speaking, and he never comes out of it. These two men picture the Christian and the unbeliever. And I pray that each of us will know which we are. Now, we have to ask ourselves this question. What are the reasons that Jeremiah rises from the mire while Zedekiah sinks? It's the differences between these two men which will show us whether we are a true Christian or whether we are stuck and bemired in our sin. There are three differences between these two men, Jeremiah and Zedekiah. First of all, Jeremiah is cast into the mire because of the strength of his character, while Zedekiah is mired. He mired himself by weakness of character, verses 1 to 6. Jeremiah's trouble comes to him here because of his faithfulness to God, not because of his sin. He was cast into this pit because he boldly declared to the king, the princes, and the people that they should repent. And he even went so far as to say that he who goes over to the Chaldeans shall live. This seems like a very unpatriotic thing to do. And we can see here that the princes of Judah didn't care for his saying such things. They thought that he was being very unpatriotic, but actually he was showing the highest form of patriotism in that he would faithfully declare God's word to the king, the princes, and all the people of Judah. I'm saying that Jeremiah was a righteous man with great strength of character. And so he was as bold as a lion when it came to declaring God's word. What is it that gave Jeremiah his strength of character? It was that Jeremiah was a man who feared the Lord. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." This is the beginning of strength of character, fearing the Lord. Trusting in the Lord is here equated with fearing the Lord. When you fear the Lord, that is when you trust in the Lord, you shall be kept safe. It says, this does not mean that you will always escape persecution or that you will in every case escape dying at the hands of men, but you will always be spiritually safe. And the Lord will be watching over you, both body and soul, as long as you do live upon the earth. As long as you live by faith in God, you will always be kept in God's good and loving care, and you will be safe in the arms of Jesus. It's actually the fear of men that brings a snare. And it will bring you into much more spiritual and physical danger than if you fear God and keep His commandments. We want to look at a few verses here together. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and they are righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Now, I want to assert to you that Jeremiah was a man who understood the desirability and the preciousness of the Word of God, the Lord's Word to him. He was a man whose soul had been converted to the Lord by the word of the Lord to him. The testimony of the Lord had made wise this simple man named Jeremiah. Are you and I any different? No, the only way that a person comes to know the Lord is by receiving the truth of the Bible, and specifically the gospel of Christ, and it's believing the word concerning Jesus that gives you the wisdom that leads to your being saved. To Jeremiah, the commandments of the Lord were pure because his eyes had been enlightened by God's grace to the truth. He had asked God to cleanse him from secret faults. He prayed often to God to be kept back from presumptuous sins. And I'm saying to you that this is how strength of character begins, and this is how it continues. Now turn over with me to Psalm 112, verses 1 to 4, and verses 6 to 8. Psalm 112, verses 1 to 4. "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and righteous. Verse 6, surely a good man will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. So let's see the strength here of God's word and the strength of his watch care over our lives, that watch care that he exercises day by day towards his people. And we need to understand that it's God's grace, that it is his tangible, providential help which keeps the Christian strong in their faith. And it is he who builds the qualities of moral excellence into their lives by the precious and powerful working of his Spirit. And this leads to righteous living and righteous actions on their part. We need to see this as the basis of a Christian's strength of character, I'm saying. It's the Spirit working in your heart, leading you and guiding you into all the truth. It's God's holy working in your heart and your faith, in that working which keeps your heart steadfast when evil tidings come. The righteous person knows that God remembers him. The righteous person, the one who is trusting in God and in Christ, knows that light will arise for him in the darkness. He knows that God will give him wisdom when he asks for it, and he will not upbraid him. The righteous person knows that he will never be shaken because his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. He knows that God will ultimately thwart the plans of the wicked in all of their schemes against him. Now turn with me over to Psalm 138, and we want to look at verses 1 to 3 and verses 7 and 8. Psalm 138, verse 1, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me, and you made me bold with strength in my soul. And then look at verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hand. So here we find King David praising the Lord with his whole heart before the gods, that is, before all the leaders of men under him, before all the kings of the earth around him. He would worship the only true and living God, and he would praise God for his loving kindness and his truth. Why? Because God had magnified his word, it says here, above all his name. In other words, in magnifying of his word, he places it above all things, even his own name. And what does that mean? It means that God has a special concern in fulfilling every promise of his word, even above his own consideration of the reputation of his own name among men. His faithfulness to his own word is the most important thing to him. Jeremiah's boldness of strength of character came from this realization, just as David's strength of character was evidenced and came forth when he was walking in the midst of trouble. They both knew that God would revive them, even though at points they would grow discouraged. They both knew that God's right hand would eventually save them and deliver them, deliver their life from all distress. They both knew that the Lord would perfect that which concerned them. They both knew that the Lord makes the person trusting in Him to be bold with strength in their soul. Let me ask you if this is something that you know and believe, that God will act against the wrath of His enemies and yours if you are trusting in Him. Perhaps you too will be persecuted. Perhaps you have been persecuted. Perhaps you find yourself in some sort of a pit of some other person's making. You may be up to your neck in the mire, but you know that your conscience is clear. You are trusting and obeying God. Jeremiah, I am sure, feared that he might die when he was in this pit of mud, but he knew that he was mired for the right reasons. It was not his sin, but it was his love to God. It was his love to other people around him that it brought him down to this pit, that it brought this persecution down on his head. But think now of Zedekiah. He mires himself by the weakness of his own character. The princes come to him in verse 4 and they say, "Please let this man be put to death, for thus he weakens the hands of the men of war who remain in this city and the hands of all the people by speaking such words to them. For this man does not seek the welfare of this people, but their harm." And weak-willed Zedekiah says to them, "Look, he's in your hand, for the king can do nothing against you." Now truly, this is weakness of character. A holy man is being misrepresented and slandered, and the king is so weak-willed that he will not do anything to prevent his death. The fear of man has brought the snare, and he bows to the pressure of men's sinful passions. It is his sin to do so. He can't say no. He can't tell them that they are wrong and wicked in their thinking. The same thing sometimes happens with people today. They think for yourself of the last time when you heard someone who was godly being slandered or critically spoken of, a godly person or a preacher, and you look around you and no one will take a stand for them and say this is not right. And I'm saying to you here this morning that that is weakness of character and a lack of love for the godly that will mire you in sin if you think that way. Not only will your own life be mired in compromise and the inability to do what is right, but your moral weakness will affect the life of other people around you. And if you give in and say nothing to oppose sin in others, then you will end up sinning yourself. Letting go of your responsibility to speak the truth so that God's cause of righteousness and justice is maintained in and through your love of the brethren. Oh, may each of us see the importance of holding fast and holding forth the truth of the Word of God and living by every righteous principle of truth which is inculcated in it. The second difference we see in the miring of these two men is that Jeremiah is pulled up out of the mire by the intervention of another, but Zedekiah sinks down because his friends mislead him and they desert him. In verse 6 it says, "So they took Jeremiah and they cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison, and they let Jeremiah down with ropes, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sank in the mire. Now Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. And when the king was sitting at the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went out of the king's house. By the way, have you noticed how often this man's name is spoken here? Ebed-Melech, it's spoken numerous times. You know why? Because God wants you to take notice of this man as a godly man who is doing right. He spoke to the king saying, "My lord, the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they cast into the dungeon, and he is likely to die from hunger in the place where he is." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from here 30 men with you and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies." Well, without reading it all again to you, we can see here that Jeremiah got help from a source which he wasn't looking for. This Ebed-Melech must have been a righteous man, and he is a good example for us today of what it means for Christians to stand for truth. To stand for truth means that when a brother is mired in the criticisms and slanders and persecutions that have come to him because of the preaching of the truth of God's word, that we must do what we can to see if he can be pulled out of the mire. Ebed-Melech goes directly to this weak-willed Zedekiah, the man in authority, and he plainly points out the evil being done to Jeremiah. You know, it really is the right thing to do. It's the right way to do things, to speak respectfully and plainly about what is evil and make requests to the proper governing authorities for compassion and mercy, for justice to the oppressed to be shown to them. Zedekiah was a man who needed to be nudged to do the right thing, but he did do the right thing when he was confronted. And you and I, who know what is right, have the same responsibility to try to intervene when we can preserve life, preserve reputation, or the opportunity to try to get others to show compassion. We must remember that our salvation came when Jesus Christ intervened on our behalf. Think of Jeremiah up to his shoulders in the mud. All he had was his arms and his hands to hold himself up in the mud. He wasn't going to be able to climb out on his own. And you should remember that you too were a sinner once. You were mired in the mud of sin in this helpless way, the same helpless way. But the Lord Jesus saw you there, and he knew that you would die there unless he intervened. Ebed-Melech went to the king and he asked for mercy on Jeremiah's behalf, and he got it. The king told him to get 30 men to help him, and he used old clothes, old rags, to carefully draw Jeremiah out of this pit. And Jesus Christ, I'm saying, has become a mediator for us to find favor with God. We are sinners, but he will intervene. And he will draw us up out of the pit by the means of the old but strong clothes of the preaching of the gospel. Some may think that the gospel can do nothing, but our Bible tells us it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. To a man sinking in the mud, the tying together of the promises of life and forgiveness, which speak of Christ's righteousness and his strength to save, these will lift him up out of the pit. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3, picture this well. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. This is what Christ will do for you when you believe the gospel. But do not be like Zedekiah. He had sunk down, spiritually speaking, into a pit of his own making, and he didn't realize that his friends had misled him, and they would eventually turn away from him, and they would desert him. Zedekiah's friends told him to stand it out against Nebuchadnezzar and fight against the Chaldeans. They told him to look to Egypt for help. Egypt was, and it still is, a picture to us who read the Word of God in our day of the world and its strategies, the world with all of its pull to easy, selfish, and sinful answers to your problems. These princes told Zedekiah to put Jeremiah to death. And it was because Zedekiah believed these lies and would listen to their strategies that he sinks down spiritually into the mire. Now let me ask this question. Do you fight against God's judgment concerning you? Do you really think that listening to the advice of the people of the world will bring you real peace? Will it bring you real security? No, it never really will. Although it may seem to do so for a while. If only Zedekiah could have seen that whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And he who loses his life, Jesus says, for my sake will find it. Matthew 16:25. And then the third difference between these two men. Jeremiah rises from the mire because he surrendered to the Lord's will for his life, while Zedekiah never did. Verses 14 to 23. Verse 14 says, then Zedekiah the king sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance of the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, I will ask you something. Hide nothing from me. And Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare it to you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you advice, you will not listen to me. So Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord lives who made our very souls, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hand of these men who seek your life. So you can see here that Zedekiah would really like the Lord's help to be given to him. And so he actually swears by the Lord that he will not put Jeremiah to death. He just wants some good news. Now let us understand that the gospel is good news to those who are willing to do what God would have them to do, which is to repent of their sins and to believe in Jesus Christ. If a person will do that, they will be saved. And their life will be delivered from all distress. But people like Zedekiah do not want to believe that God would require them to do anything which they do not want by nature to do. They do not want to admit that their own plans and wisdom are quite contrary to what God would have them to do. What is it that God would have sinners to do? Well, he would have them to surrender to him and begin to do things on his terms, according to his will. That's what he's looking for. His will is revealed in the scriptures. True Christianity is always found in surrender to God's will for your life. And his will is known through his word. Jeremiah had surrendered to God's will and is becoming a prophet back in chapter 1 of this book. He surrendered to God's will in his ministry of preaching to hardened men and a weak-willed king. And he preached the same surrender to Zedekiah. In verse 17 of our text, and Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then your soul shall live. This city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon, if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans. They shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from your hand." That was the gospel preached to Zedekiah, by the way. If he believed it, his soul would live. And we need to understand that a person can come very close to surrendering their will to do God's will and yet not do it. Surrender is not just saying that you won't hurt God's people or his prophet. It is not taking an oath to do no harm to his servant. It is repenting of your sins and obeying the voice of the Lord. If you do this, it shall be well with you, and your soul shall live. Now I want you to think with me of the day of judgment, which is coming. In relation to that day, you ought not to be more afraid of men than you ought to be. You ought to be more afraid of God than you are of men. You should fear Him who has power to destroy both body and soul in hell. In verse 19, Zedekiah says to Jeremiah, "I am afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they will abuse me." But Jeremiah tells him, "They shall not deliver you. Please obey the voice of the Lord which I speak to you." Notice how Jeremiah even pleads with him. "So it shall be well with you, and your soul shall live. Let it not be that you, my listeners, ever fear what could happen to you at the hands of men, when you have the promise of God that if you listen to His word and heed it to do it, that it shall be well with you." It shall be well, even if you cannot presently see how it could be well. When you think about what men could do to you, notice how Jeremiah pleads with him once again to obey the voice of the Lord. If he did so, his soul would live. And your soul, being ministered to by the Lord, is of infinitely greater importance than your having any assurance from any living man. Jeremiah suspected that Zedekiah would not obey the voice of the Lord, and so he warns him of the implications of it, of his disobedience in verse 21. "But if you refuse to surrender, this is the word that the Lord has shown me. Now behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be surrendered to the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, 'Your close friends have set upon you and prevailed against you. Your feet have sunk in the mire and they have turned away again.' They shall surrender all your wives and children to the Chaldeans. You shall not escape from their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and you shall cause this city to be burned with fire." He, Zedekiah, will be the cause of that city being burned with fire. Now you would think that having these things placed right before him, in this plain way of speaking, that Zedekiah would have complied, that he would have surrendered to the Lord's will, which was delivered to him through Jeremiah's words to him, but he did not. He was more afraid of the Jews who had defected to the Chaldeans than he was of what the Chaldeans would do to him. But this was not the right way for him to think in this way. Because God was, through Jeremiah, giving him assurance of his well-being. That if he would do what he said, If he would surrender to the Chaldeans, all would be well for him. The very opposite of what you would think that he should try to do. You would think as a patriot, he would defend it to his death. No, that's not what Jeremiah told him. He said, you go out and surrender to them and it will be well for you. This is God's will for you. Surrender to God is always more important than your obedience to some man if it goes contrary to the Lord's will for you. Instead, he says to Jeremiah in verse 24, let no one know of these words, Zedekiah says to Jeremiah, and you shall not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with you, they will come to you and say, declare to us now what you have said to the king, and also what the king said to you. Do not hide it from us, and we will not put you to death. And you shall say to them, I presented my request before the king that he would not make me return to Jonathan's house to die there. So Zedekiah thought that he was being wise in these things, when really it was being very foolish for him to go about it in this way. It would be disastrous for him not to heed Jeremiah's warning. Similarly, it's very foolish and disastrous for people in our day to think that things will continue along just fine without their heeding God's word in order to do it, to repent of all of their sins and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. They're going to come into disaster in the time of the last judgment for sure, if not in this life as well. And they will eventually be punished eternally for their sinfully turning away their ears from hearing the word of God to do it. So in closing this message, I want you to see with me the faithfulness of Jeremiah to all that God called him to do, because really his faithfulness was very extensive. He was thrown into a pit of mud for speaking the truth of God's word, but even there God was with him when wicked men tried to do away with his life. And through the intervention of Ebed-Melech, he was brought out of the pit and continued to minister to the king and many other people around him as the Lord's servant all the way until Jerusalem was taken. And we need to see that this is what the Lord has called us to do as well, to be God's servants in righteousness and his servants in speaking the truth. And we need to use discretion in speaking the truth and weigh it well, whether we should relate to others what was spoken to us in private conversation. Jeremiah did weigh it. He listened to the king's request that he say nothing to the princes of what was spoken between them, and he did not tell them what they spoke about. Notice this. At first we might think that that was moral compromise on Jeremiah's part, but it was not. Let us remember that all that we hear in a private conversation is not something that needs to be told to anyone around us if we suspect that they will use that information in a way which would stir up the passions of people to act sinfully or out of fear. Jeremiah did not feel that he needed to relate this conversation with the king to the princes, and we should not feel that we need to tell inquiring people around us everything that we have heard and everything that we know from a private conversation if that information would be used against us or against others to promote their drawing wrong conclusions and taking matters of justice and judgment into their own hands, which is what would have happened, by the way, in this situation had Jeremiah related it to them. So therefore, let us resolve by God's grace to be faithful to all that he has called us to do in being faithful to God and in lovingly ministering to people around us. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this passage. We are amazed by the power of it. We are amazed by the many situations which speak truth to our hearts from it. And we pray that since these truths are so very important to the way that we live our lives before others, and so very important in terms of the forward progress of truth and righteousness, that we would take heed to them, and that in our hearts we would resolve to be followers of you in terms of the truth of your word, and to make no compromise with the world or with the bad examples of people around us. Help us to be righteous and holy persons who are being conformed to be more and more like you, Lord Jesus, in being willing to endure persecution for your name's sake, being willing to suffer with you that we might be glorified together with you. For we pray it in your dear name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, let's close our time by singing hymn number 710 together, "I Need Thee Every Hour." Let's stand and sing this good hymn together. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, teach me thy will, and thy rich promises in me fulfill. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thy blessed son. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Amen. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, and who executes justice for the oppressed. The Lord shall reign forever. your God, O Zion, to all generations. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. And may the Lord go with you.